appreciate each and every one of you. Amen. And my, we have had such a wonderful time. 2 weeks of revival service. They came so quickly and they have gone so quickly. But my, what moves of God we've had in this church. Amen. And I'm not just saying that. Those of you that are here, that was here for the services, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. God's given victory. God's given deliverance. There's been some wonderful things that have happened. And my, all the visitors that have come to the house of God, it's just been really awesome. And I'm not saying that in the past tense that it is a chapter in the history of our church. It is in a sense of the word, but in another way, it's just another chapter in the rest of the book. Amen. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight for the blessings of the Lord and for what God has done and what God is going to do. Praise the Lord. And not only that, what He is doing. Praise God, because He has done great things and He's doing great things. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41 through 46. I felt this message during the revival services. I'm really not sure which night it was, but something just spoke to my heart. I jotted down a few notes. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And say amen when you get there. Amen. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Everybody said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Praise God. He went up and he said, there is nothing, just clear sky. Everybody said, clear sky. Clear sky. And he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain, but when he went to look up, it was clear sky. Amen. Clear sky. But he went up into the because of the commandment of the prophet here, and on the 7th time above the sea, he saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Amen. And the prophet said, you better get down or you're going to get caught in the flood. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to us here tonight, clear sky or a man's hand. Amen. Clear sky or a man's hand. This depends on what we see. God's given us physical ears, physical eyes, sensories that we can sense things that are around us. But we understand from the scriptures that He's given us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Amen. So that we can receive what God has for us spiritually. And I want to just preach tonight. There's going to be clear sky in your sight, or you're going to see a man's hand. Amen. You're going to see a man's hand. Let's pray and let's ask for the help of God tonight. Father, we thank You once more for the Word of God and for this time together to worship. We give You honor, praise, and thanks, and we're asking You to give us help and strength, and we ask it tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. We oftentimes see through the eyes of the flesh, and in fact, we are so used to that. It is such a natural thing that it is very easy for us that's all that we see. And we look at and we examine, and then we make our decisions based upon what we see, what we hear, what we feel, and through our physical, carnal, sensory perceptors. Amen. And we see things through this flesh of ours, but what we see through this flesh, the Bible says, is temporary. It is not eternal. It is not spiritual. It is temporary. It is something that is here today, and it is gone tomorrow. And so in the big scheme of things, what we see and what we experience in our life is really not nearly as important as the things that we do not see. The Bible says that which is seen is temporal, and that which is not seen is eternal. Praise God. And please make note tonight that we will never see the will of God through our carnal eyes. Amen. We will never be able to see God's will through this flesh and through the carnal eyes and the carnal ears of mankind. For Jesus said, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. Amen. And they are not able to perceive because they are carnal and they are not spiritual. Amen. I have learned and I am learning that when we walk by faith and not by sight, that God does things. Amen. I've learned that when we operate in the realm of the flesh, we never see God do anything. Amen. But when we operate in the realm of the Spirit, that's where God lives. Amen. That's where God can be found. Amen. That's where God moves and where miracles take place. Amen. I don't want to be a churchgoer. I want to be somebody who sees miracles. Well, praise God. I don't want to go through a carnal situation. Amen. But I want to walk in the Spirit and I want to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. In my short time, I have seen miracles take place. I have seen healings, and I have seen people delivered from many different things. But I have never seen anyone consistently receive from God. Amen. When they doubt, and when they only see the circumstances that surround them. Amen. I've never seen it, but I have seen what David said. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Amen. Because the righteous see things that the carnal cannot see. Amen. The righteous hear things that the carnal cannot hear. Amen. The spiritual and the carnal can sit in a same service, and one can hear and the other will not hear. One will receive and the other will not receive. But God has called us to receive. Well, praise God. God has called us to bless us and to pour out the good things of His kingdom upon us. Praise God. Victory is for those who walk by faith. Amen. And so God sometimes allows us to go through things, just like He did the prophet here, to be able to see what we are going to do. If you were to go back into the garden, look in the scriptures, I believe it's Genesis 2 and 17, and the Lord said, of every tree thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And I began to think about that, and I've used this analogy in different times and places, and in Bible studies sometimes. And He put them there in the garden. He put them in this beautiful place of paradise. Amen. It was a wonderful place. There was beautiful trees and fruit that could be eaten. But right in the middle of the garden, God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you please, he put in the middle of the garden the tree of death. Because he said, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. It was a poisonous tree spiritually. It was a deadly tree spiritually. But it was a beautiful tree. It was something that was pleasant to the eyes, the scripture says. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Amen. It was a tree that was desirable. Amen. There was another tree in the garden, and it was called the tree of life. The only other time we see that tree in Scripture is in the book of Revelation, where the tree of life is there by the crystal river of water that flows through heaven itself. Praise God. And he put that there as well. I believe the tree of life was not a beautiful tree. I believe that it was gnarly. I believe that it may have had thorns on it. Amen. It was not something the scripture says was beautiful, was desirable. But there is something about the senses of this carnal nature that you and I have to deal with. It looks for beautiful things. It looks upon that which is beautiful and that which is desirable. Amen. And we go that direction. But the truth of the matter is that the spiritual is hidden behind that which is not beautiful. For even the Lord himself came, and the Bible says that he was not comely. He was not good looking. And when you saw him in a crowd, there was nothing about him that you would desire him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Amen. He was smitten. He was bruised. Amen. But thank God, through him and only him, we have salvation tonight. Praise God. And this carnal situation here, I've used this before. And I don't know, maybe I'll just try it on a few of these boys. I just put this together. It's really profound. Amen. It's really deep. Amen. Fred, what do you see here? What do you see there? What do you see? What do you see? All right. You see a black dot. A black dot. Oh, God help us. This proves my point so very clearly here tonight. Amen. Everybody that I showed this to said, I see a black dot. Amen. How many of the rest of you see a black dot here tonight? Some of you are looking at it like, what in the world is that? It's just a black dot. That's all it is. Amen. This is the cookie jar that your mother said you couldn't open when you were a little child. Amen. But there's more to this picture than a black dot. Amen. There's a big white page. And nobody said, I see a big white page. I just see the little black dot in the middle. Folks, I want you to know that's the reason that that's why we saw is because we depend on our eyes so much. It is second nature for us. It is something that we just naturally do. We don't expand ourselves beyond the visible. Amen. The obvious. Amen. We don't go outside of the box, as they say, but we stay within the parameters of what our eyes tell us that we are seeing. Amen. What we've got to do is be able to look at the big picture. Well, praise God, because in the big picture, that's where God is. In the big picture, that's where the Word of God is. In the picture, that's where the victory and the miracles take place. It's not in the things that are known and the things that are seen. And they saw only that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. They could not see everything else that they had available to them, and they were attracted to it. Praise God. Folks, I want you to know tonight that God wants us to see that which is not necessarily seen by the human eye. Amen. When we look, how do we see? When we look, what are we looking at? Amen. When we go through life and situations come along, Scripture says that God allowed Israel to hunger and to thirst. He led them out of Egypt. Thank God for that great salvation. And this is what happens many, many times. Jesus was baptized, and the Scripture says that he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Thank God for salvation. I remember the night I got the Holy Ghost. I remember the night I was baptized in Jesus' name and what God did for me in those days. Amen. But we have an idea that it starts out up here somewhere, and then it kind of slowly filters down, and we settle down to a normal, regular life. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, salvation started out right here, and we are supposed to be heading in an upward and an onward position. Praise God. And he brought them out of Egypt, but then the Bible says he allowed them to run out of food. He allowed them to run out of water, and the Scripture says to see what was in their heart, number one, because where is the heart exposed? It is exposed by the mouth. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Praise God. So he wanted to see what was in their heart. So he listened to what they had to say. He went to every tent and he stuck his head in and he listened. What are they talking about? And they were murmuring and complaining. What are we going to do? We don't have anything to eat. We're out here in the middle of the wilderness. I've gotten my calculator out and figured out how much food it's going to take for this congregation to eat and to survive and to live. And then matters got even worse and they ran out of water. What are you doing, Moses? Where are you leading us? This is ridiculous. This is crazy. It's an impossible situation. I said it's an impossible situation. And according to the ways of the flesh, it was an impossible situation. There was no way they could survive on their own. Amen. But the Lord said, I'm going to save you. And in the morning, there was food on the ground. And when Moses went out and smote the rock, the water came out of the rock. And Scripture says that rivers ran in the desert. Not just a river, but rivers went out from that. I believe there were 12 rivers. Amen. Praise God. One for each tribe. And they swam in it. They splashed each other with it. It wasn't just a little trickle and just enough for a day. But they filled their barrels up. Praise God. It was more than enough. Scripture says that the water came out of the flint. Amen. The flint rock produced water. Well, how ridiculous is that? How is that ever going to happen? But God wanted to see. Amen. It was not a method of torture for his children. It was not a method of cruelty, for our God is not a cruel God. Amen. I want to say tonight it was an opportunity. Well, praise God, it was an opportunity. Amen. It was an opportunity to exercise faith and trust in God. Amen. Adam, you can have anything in the garden. Israel, you can have the promised land. Amen. But I'm going to put this little dot right in front of you, and I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Amen. What do you see? I'm asking somebody tonight, what do you see? Amen. What do you see in your walk with God? What do you see when you read the Word of God? What do you see when you come to the house of God? Amen. If it's just another sermon, if it's just another service, I'm afraid we're going to miss exactly what God has for us. But God has great things for us. I'm not going to look, amen, at a clear sky with no hope of rain. But I'm looking for a man's hand. It doesn't have to be big for those that walk by faith. Amen. It just has to be there. And when it's there, I'm going to see it, and I'm going to praise God for it. And I'm going to believe God for it. Praise God. The scripture that we read tonight in 1 Kings chapter 18 is a story that followed a great victory. The prophets of Baal had assembled together, and they were trying to prove who was the living God. And the prophets said, bring all of them. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Amen. And so there were 400 against one. You know, that's usually the way it operates. Praise God. There, it usually operates that way. Oh my, I can only see one little bitty problem in my life, and that's all I can see. And after a while, they say that there are ways to trick your eyes. They used to have those 3D stereographs, and they can put those things on there like that. And if you stare at the picture, all of a sudden another picture appears within the picture. And it's really neat how you can trick your eyes to see only just something that makes no sense at all, and then all of a sudden a picture appears in there. Maybe you have experienced that or done that. Amen. But there are ways to trick your eyes to make you think that you are seeing something that you're really not seeing. And the devil uses that. He'll use multitudes. He'll use the majority. He'll use the media. Come on, somebody help me tonight. Amen. He'll use those that come along and tell you untruths. Oh, this happened and that happened when nothing actually happened at all. Amen. And he will bombard your ears with negative things. He will bombard your eyes with troubles all around you until I am convinced that there are many people today that are depressed because of what they hear and what they think surrounds them. Amen. I thank God today for the church. I thank God for the ministry of the Word of God. I thank God for a place where we can hear truth. Amen. Truth that does not include a lie. It's truth. And when I hear it, praise God, I can get excited about it. And I can shout about it. Amen. And I can leave with a hope in my heart, a song in my heart, a dance in my step. Amen, because what I hear out there is not necessarily reality. Amen, it's just a lot of noise. Well, praise God. Amen, don't ever get to think that church is just a lot of noise. That preaching is just a lot of noise. Amen. It's not just a man that's saying some words. I'm telling you what, God has ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How can we believe except we hear? And how can we hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say that faith comes by listening to your radio or listening to whatever's on the internet, but faith comes by hearing the word of God that is preached by a God-called man of God. Well, praise God. Praise God. You didn't know your pastor still had it in him, did you? I still got a little bit. Praise God. As long as God gives me a little bit, I'm going to give it all back to Him. Amen. Somebody needs to hear this. I said somebody needs to hear this. Amen. What are you looking at? Amen. What are you feasting your eyes upon in the realm of the carnal man and the carnal woman? Amen. There's victories to be won. But remember, amen, there can never be a victory without a battle first. 400 to 1. Everybody backing up the 400. That's what usually happens. It's a crowd mentality. That's where we're at in our generation. That's why they do different clothing fads. And then they tell you this is what the majority is doing before anybody buys the first one. And so everybody goes out and they buy one because, well, that's what everybody's doing. Amen. That's what everybody is. This is the fad now. This is the most exciting thing that's going on right now. And the crowd is usually going the wrong way. History will record that. The crowd usually goes in the wrong direction. But there are those that will stand up and say, we're not going to bow to your statue. Amen. We're not going to stop praying for 30 days at your commandment. But look at the implications of your decision. You need to think about this. You're the third man. Actually, you're the first man, Daniel, in this kingdom of Babylon. You're sitting high and mighty, and all you've got to do is stop for 30 days. Amen. All you've got to do is just call upon no other God for 30 days. But Daniel couldn't do that. Amen. Daniel saw God every day. And when you see God in your day, you're going to talk to God every day. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love to talk to Him every day. Jesus, I need you today. And I feel His presence right there. Amen. God is with us, folks. And we need to see God in our day every day because He is there. Amen. And so they made their sacrifice. You know the story. And then Elijah made his sacrifice, prayed a simple prayer. Amen. The fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Praise God. Amen. And then at his own word, the drought had come. Nobody had any water. Now what are we going to do? And Elijah spoke to the ones in his circle there and said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. No clouds in the sky, no water on the ground, nothing to prove what the man of God was saying. He just said, you know what? I hear something. I see something. Well, where? I see it. I hear it. Praise God. Well, praise God. I was at the house one day, and my wife will tell you, I was there at the house, and it sounded like I could hear a choir singing. You remember that day? She looked at me real funny. Amen. Like, do we need to make a doctor's appointment here? I said, it just sounds like a choir that's singing. Amen. I don't hear anything except the coyotes barking outside. And I don't know if there were coyotes right then, but I'm using that as an example tonight. We can hear the coyotes a-yipping and a-yapping out there. Amen. And they make those sounds as they're chasing their prey. And sometimes folks get scared when a pack of coyotes come by, and you can hear them all out there. Amen. And those of you that live in the country, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Noises in the night. But I'll tell you what, there's more than just the yipping coyotes out there in the dark. Well, praise God. You want to listen to your pack of coyotes and be afraid, go ahead. Amen. But I'm not afraid of the coyotes, and I'm not afraid of the dark. Amen. Just don't turn the lights out. Praise God. You know what? I want to see God in my life. I want to see God's victory in my life. I want to see the power of God in my life. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody else feel that way tonight? I feel that way tonight. Elijah saw the Lord, and then he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. What do you see? I see a big old white page. I see clouds. I see rain. What do you see? I see a black dot. And sometimes we'll look and say, I see a black dot. That's all I see. Do you know what I see? I see a big picture. Praise God. I see a whole lot more, amen, than what the majority will see. Praise God. Praise God. Ezra spoke of this. And in Ezra chapter 3, I know you've probably been there reading in the book of Ezra this week. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, this is the second temple, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. What do we see when we come to the house of God? Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what I want to see, and what I am asking you to open your eyes to do your best to see. Amen. Don't look, amen, at the beauty of the building. Amen. Don't look at the fact that we've been having good services. I'm telling you tonight, there's a time and a place for shouting for joy. But what we've got to do is go back to the old paths and look at the original foundation. There's a lot of folks that praise the Lord today, but there are the ancients that, well, I'm not ancient. Amen. There are a few left around here, praise God, who remember the days that the Holy Ghost was poured out. Well, praise God, and that revival was preached, and souls were saved. Amen, and healings took place. I don't want to shout around an inferior foundation, but I want to go back to the original. I want to see what the Word of God really has to say for me. I don't want to play church. Anybody else feel this way tonight? I don't want to play church. I don't want to just come and clap my hands for Jesus. I don't want somebody to tell me when to worship and when not to worship. Well, praise God, because I see God in this place. I see God's potential in this place tonight. I'm not looking at a black dot. I'm looking at an opportunity for God to do great things. Go ahead and clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. I want to experience the original. Amen. Because it's still in force. And it's still available for us today. God's still pouring out the Holy Ghost. Amen. Melissa, wave your hand. God's still pouring out the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. If Courtney was here, I could say, wave your hand. God's still pouring out the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, yeah, but where are they tonight? Black dot. Well, why don't they? Black dot. Well, what's going on with that situation? Black dot. If you want to be a black dot Christian, just go ahead and be a black dot Christian. Amen. And join those folks that do that anyway with their culture. And just put it right between your eyes. Every time you look in the mirror, black dot, black dot, black dot. Amen. I'm not going to be a black dot Christian. Friend, because that's the carnal Christian. I want to look out and see the will of God and the potential of God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Haggai. I know you've been in Haggai this week as well. Haggai chapter 2, verse 2. Amen. And he said this, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, "Who is left among you that saw the house in her first glory? And how do you see it now?" It makes a difference how we see things. Is there anybody that has seen the house in its former glory? How do you see it now? How do you see it now? Oh, my friend, even though it was an inferior temple, even though it was probably not as large and as grandiose as the one that Solomon built, it was still nevertheless the temple of God. Amen. And he wanted to know, how do you see it now? How many's here tonight? And you've been around for a while. Amen. And the way you saw it in the beginning, at the very first, when you saw that foundation that was laid, when you saw and God gave you a revelation of the oneness of God, and when your eyes were enlightened and you saw that you needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you came to the altar and you prayed and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, and every service was a time that God could speak. Amen. How many are here tonight and remember the first time that you heard a tongues and interpretation, and how your heart was thrilled that God could speak. Amen. That God could move. Amen. And he asked the prophet here, he said, "How many of you, amen, speak to Zerubbabel, ask him, how many of you were here when the original temple was built, and how do you see it now?" The way we see it now is so very important, folks. Amen. We can go from spiritual to carnal, but I'm not going to preach that way. We can go from carnal to spiritual. And it all is based upon and determined by what we see. Do you see clear sky or do you see a man's hand? I'm here tonight with something in my eyes. I see a man's hand. There's something in my ear that's ringing in my ears. Amen. It's the sound of abundance of rain. I hear it tonight. Amen. I hear it tonight. And I see it. It's right over there. Oh, well, it's so small and so insignificant. Oh, yes. Praise God. We've taught Bible studies, and we've done this and that and the other. But you know what, friend? We sow and we water, but it is God that gives the increase. And this word is miraculous. This word is powerful. Come on, somebody help me tonight. I'm not preaching much longer, but there is a miraculous power in the Word of God. When you least expect it to come up, all of a sudden in one day it comes up. And you say, "Where did that come from?" It came from the miracle power of the seed, the miracle power of the Word of God. And when we preach, amen, hell is pushed back. And when we preach, hearts are touched. Amen. When we preach, our faith is rebuilt. Amen. And we are renewed in our minds. Woo! Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, what are you looking at? And what do you see? Do you see a clear sky? Or do you see a man's hand? I see a man's hand tonight. And we better get ready. Amen. Because the rains are coming down. And we're going to get washed away if we're not careful. Well, praise God. Praise God, because it's coming to pass. Come on, let's worship the Lord for a moment here tonight. Oh, God, help us, help us, help us, help us. Oh, help us, Jesus, help us, Jesus. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Amen. Praise God. And he went on. I want to read just a little bit more here tonight, because there's some extra here that I don't know if we've seen. He said, "Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" That's where we've got to be very careful. to look, to not look at what's going on right now when things are, we're trying to rebuild some things, or we're trying to build up some things. Amen. They built the temple, and from what I understand, they built the temple before they built the wall. And they're trying to rebuild, and people are saying, oh, if a fox jumps on it, it's going to fall over. It's never going to come to anything. It's going to come to naught. And he said, is it not in your eyes just a little thing? It's not just a little thing when a man steps into the pulpit and begins to preach the word of God. It doesn't matter if there's two or three in the congregation. It doesn't matter if it's a full house of 1,000. Amen. I've been in places where there's 1,000, and when it's worship time, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I look around. The Bible says, watch and pray. Amen. And I look around, and in a lot of places that I have been, about 10% of the congregation is doing the worship, and the rest are just looking on, waiting for the show to take place. Oh, God, help us. Sometimes there's more power in a church of 50 than there is of 500. Amen. When you look at it in comparison, it's how you see it. It's how you see your church. It's how you see your place that God has put you here. Amen. I'll tell you how I see it. I see it with excitement. Amen. I see it as a great possibility. I see it as a tremendous opportunity. Amen. I see what God has blessed us with. And I say, if God can do this with so little, what can God do right now with what we have? I'm telling you, we can multiply 10 over. Amen. Because God is with us, and we have more now than what we had before. How do you see it tonight? What is the vision that you have? Amen. Or are you just a black dot Christian? Well, I got this problem. I got that problem. Hey, we all got problems, friend. But your problem is not that big that God cannot fix it. He said this, yet now, everybody said, yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel. Saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Be strong. Be strong. You know what that means? That means that when it's time for prayer in your personal daily life, God, it's so bad. Help me, Lord. Oh, already 30 seconds. Oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. 45 seconds. When it's time for worship, some folks look like they're being crucified with him. Amen. My pastor used to say about that scripture where Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are cold, but few are frozen. And sometimes it's like that. Preacher, could I skate down the aisles? Amen. We could have ourselves a skating rink in here. It's so cold sometimes. But you know what he said? Be strong. Get up. Lift up your head. Throw your shoulders back. Lift up your hands and say, God, you're great and awesome. And if everybody will do that together, I'm telling you what, it's a difference between a bad service. Now, there's not a bad service. Well, maybe there is sometimes. I got to think about that one for a minute. Amen. It makes the difference in a good Holy Ghost revival. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Be strong. Amen. How can I be strong? Look at it differently than you've been looking at it. Praise God. Be strong, he said. And he said, saith the Lord, for I am with you, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Woo! Praise God. I feel like shouting right now. I really do. Amen. Let me get my black dot eraser off. Amen. Sorry, God. I don't want to see any more black dots. You know what I see? I see a church full of people. You know what I see? Our children living for God, getting a call to preach. Well, praise God. You know what I see? I see miracles at the altar. Amen. I still see the dream that I had a few years ago of this altar filled with adult men. And while they were praying, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell on all of them at once. And they all started talking in tongues right here. That's what I see. Oh, well, you know what? Pastor, we need to clean the carpet. There's a spot right there. That's what I see. And you got these folks with their little monocle in their eye, you know, and they're looking around and hey, look at there. There's a little something right there, you know. And I'm telling you what, you go ahead and look for your spots in the carpet. Amen. Go ahead and look for the imperfection. I found one right there. Somebody scuff mark. We need to talk to these kids around here. Marking up the church. Amen. Making it look like it's worn a little bit. We need to make this thing look perfect, like it's never been used. Oh, God, help us. Give us enough young people so the whole... Well, no, don't mark it up. Amen. Because I know who's got to fix it. Amen. But I'm telling you what, God gave us this church to use it. God gave us this place. Amen. To fill it up. Come on, somebody... Amen. How do you see it tonight? I am with you, saith the Lord. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. You know what God was literally saying? The covenant that I made with you in the beginning is still in force. Amen. The difference is how you're looking at it. Amen. Let's stand together. Can we do that? It's how you're looking at it. And are you going back and going back and going back and going back to that original? And when the time of trouble comes, and it will come because the Bible says right here, that there's another place in the New Testament that sounds almost exactly like this. He said, for that which can be shaken will be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken may remain. God's going to shake heaven and earth. God's going to shake heaven and earth. Amen. To see what is on the rock, to see what is going to get blown away, that's going to carry their little black dot. Well, I can't lose this. I got to keep this with me every day. And when the boss says, you know, we're looking for somebody for a promotion. Yeah, black dot. I thought it was still there. Probably not going to happen for me. When somebody says, isn't God good? Come to worship the Lord. Yeah, black dot still there. And every now and then just kind of slip it out for good measure. I thought it got bigger. No, it's about the same size. All through the course of the day. Ooh, bad news. Yep. Oh, my. Washington, D.C. Yep, it got bigger. real big. I mean, it's a black page now. God help us. God help us. You know what we need to do? We need to just fold it the other way. And then we need to just put something on there. Can you read that? God. There's an exclamation point there beside it too. Amen. And so through the course of the day, people come over to you from where you work. Man, it's bad and it's going to get worse. God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. What are you so happy about? Oh, never mind. You wouldn't understand. And then somebody else comes up to you. Oh, did you hear the news? It's all going down. Have a nice day with Jesus. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was supposed to be depressed. Forgive me. I'll see if it'll work. No, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Amen. How many's got their God paper in their pocket tonight? Amen. Or how many's got their black dot in their pocket tonight? It's going to make all the difference in the world. Don't sign me up for a black dot Christian. I'm a God Christian. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's time for church. Oh. I got to see so-and-so. Oh, not another message. I've had about all I can take. No, if you'll just keep that God paper in your pocket, Deontay. I know what it's like on your job. They're some of the most negative people. Brother Troy, and they'll tell you, you're not working today. Brother Troy's like, do what? They said, we're not working today. Well, I'm here to work. Nope, we're not working today. And he'd start working, and they cut off the air, turn off the hose, the air hose, so he can't work. Yeah, negative. Negative as negative, double negatives. Amen. And that doesn't make an equal sign either. It's just a double negative. A negative square root, which really gets negative real fast. Yeah, don't go to work like this. And when you're not working again. All right, yes. No, get the other side of that paper out. Hey, look at here, man. You're going to see what I'm going to be able to do today. Praise God. I was doing some work down the street here a while back. Thank God it's a while back. Amen. And I was getting ready to start on one of them, and the building inspector came. I had a question for him, and he walks in, and he goes, oh, my. Literally, Brother Fred, you were there when he walked in. I'm not going to say what he said. It would not be appropriate anywhere. But he was, oh, my. And he looked around like this. And I'm just standing there with a big smile on my face. He said, oh, this is a lot of work. I said, you know what I said? I said, just wait and see what the grace of God will do to this apartment. Amen. And when I got all finished, he came in and he said, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. Amen. You know, there's some people that will just wait in the wings. And they'll just cross their arms. Well, let's see if it's really going to come to pass. And they kind of curl their bottom lip out. Like they've been smoking on a big fat cigar. Or a long cigarette. Well, let's see. I just don't know. Well, you know, I know of a story once where somebody tried this and it didn't work. You ought to just go up there and pow, knock that thing out of their hand. Say, I've got a message for you, buddy. God. God. God's going to be with me. God's going to help me. God's going before me. Anybody feel this here tonight? I feel it in my heart. Well, praise God. Can we just love Him right now? In Jesus' name. Open our eyes that we might see.